Tvang Nasandarshito Dhatra Dustarang Nistitir Shatam Kaling Satavaharang Pungsam Karna Dhara Ivarnanam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of Providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so, this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification, and if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami or his bona fide representative as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tvang Nasandarshito Dhatra Dustarang Nistitir Shatam Kaling Satyavaharang Pungsam Karna Dhara Ivarnanam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of Providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Here, the sages gathered at Naimisharanya are addressing Suta Goswami. The Bhagavatam, as we have it in its present form, is as spoken by Suta Goswami and recorded by Srila Vyasadeva, who himself appears within Srimad Bhagavatam. And particularly the Bhagavatam as we have it today is as given by Srila Prabhupada. The verses are the Bhagavatam, and the purports are also Bhagavatam. They're not different. They elucidate the points which are given in the verse are explained more by Srila Prabhupada. So in this way we can understand that the purport is not that it's any less than the translation. In fact, you might be surprised to know that in the earliest days of Prabhupada's ministration in the West, he didn't have Bhagavad Gita as it is at that time. He had composed a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, but that had been stolen. And then later, after he came to that was stolen in India before he came to the West. And then afterward, after he came to America, he composed Bhagavad Gita as it is. But he was first teaching Bhagavad Gita at 26 Second Avenue in New York City using the translations from the edition of Dr. Radha Krishna, who Prabhupada himself, whose purports Prabhupada had very strongly criticized in published articles. Particularly, he protested against Dr. Radha Krishnan's interpretation on the last verse of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhavapad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru. How does the rest of the verse go? You sure? Last verse of the 9th chapter? Ah, you're not listening. Atmanang matparayana. So anyway, it's more or less the same purport. Just testing you. But anyway, Dr. Radha Krishnan had stated in his purport, it is not to the person Krishna that we must surrender, but to the unborn eternal that speaks through within, that speaks through Krishna. So Prabhupada had very scaldingly criticized this as the rascaldom it is to presume that Krishna, it is not the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita to surrender to Krishna means that we are a person, Krishna is the supreme person, and we surrender to him. But denial of his personality is the greatest act of envy. The jiva in the material world is anyway envious of Krishna. But if he takes mostly by forgetting Krishna, Krishna bhuli se jivan adi bahimuk atev mayatari deya shangshara duk. By forgetting Krishna, we turn away from Krishna since time immemorial. And for this reason, maya, Krishna's external energy, gives us so many different varieties of suffering in this material world. But those who study Bhagavad Gita, in one sense, they can be, they're not forgetting Krishna. They're remembering Krishna, but they want to deny the Mayavadis, they want to deny that Krishna is Krishna. Everything he says in Bhagavad Gita, they want to give a different purport to it. So although it's very, very, Krishna is very clearly stating that you always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, but they deny this. They say there's something unborn eternal within Krishna, although there's none. That is an envious malinterpretation. So anyway, the thing I've said that you might be surprised to know, the Prabhupada was using this edition of Bhagavad Gita to teach his earliest students. I mean, they might not have even considered them his student themselves his students at that time. They weren't officially students. But Prabhupada said that we can use the translations. He said the translations are more or less alright, but how the purport is given, that is more important than the verse. So sometimes we might think, well, we'll just read the verses, but Prabhupada said the purport is more important than the verse. There's one Sanskrit pundit I know who lives in Baroda, and he reads Shastra. But he doesn't read the purport. He reads Bhagavatam. He considers himself a Vaishnava of sorts. He's not initiated in any Vaishnava sampradaya, but he reads Bhagavatam. But he doesn't read the purports. And then how will he understand? How can we understand? Just by reading the verses. We have to read the purports. Not everything is explicitly given. Srimad Bhagavatam delineates the science of the Absolute Truth, but not everything is explicitly given. Not everything is meant for everyone, and not everyone can understand everything. Parokshavada rishayo parokshang cha mama priyaha. Lord Krishna says we'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam, that parokshavada, that which is stated indirectly by subtle indication, that the rishis, they often speak parokshavada, and Krishna says, this is also very dear to me. So we'll find most of the Shastra is... What do we find in Shastra? What does Krishna say? Trigunya Vishayo Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. The Vedas deal with three modes of material nature. Be above that, O Arjuna. Then later in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, that Vaidaischa Sarvair Hameva Vedyaha. I, in all the Vedas, I am that which is to be known. And Krishna, he is above the three modes of material nature. And he's saying the Vedas are concerned with the three modes of material nature. And then he says the Vedas are meant for knowing me. The Vedas are within the three modes, and how can they be for understanding Krishna is beyond the three modes. Mangshyo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitya itan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Krishna is beyond the three modes of material nature, and by serving him one goes beyond them. So seems to be a contradiction. But actually it's only a matter of perspective. The Vedas appear to be offering this they appear this pushpita vacha, appear to be flowery words meant for elevation to the heavenly planets, but actually that's not the purport of the Vedas at all. It only appears to be like that. The Vedas are written in a manner that they can be understood at different levels according to level of adhika or eligibility. Just like the subject of Atmagyan, knowledge of the self. At one time, Indra, the king of the Devas, and Virochana, the king of the Daityas, they at the same time approached Brahma for requesting Atmagyan. So this word Atma can mean body, mind, soul, super soul. So Brahma instructed that, my dear king of the Devas, my dear king of the Daityas, you should know from me that Atma means the body. The body is the self. Be assured of this. So Virochana was very happy and said, yes, now I got Atma again. I am this body. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. See you later, maybe. Whereas Indradev wasn't satisfied. He thought, no, there must be more than this. So after Virochana had gone away, Virochana, who was not qualified by his attitude of wanting to enjoy the body, he wasn't fit for Atmagyan, actual Atmagyan, which means to understand that the self is not the body. He was happy to know the self is the body. So he went away, and then Brahma instructed Indra in actual Atmagyan. So he got Atmagyan, and what was taught to him was not untrue, but it was that which is to be understood from a different perspective than the actual perspective of the actual truth. The Vedas are composed in such a way that one can be elevated by hearing them and one can be cheated by hearing them also. It depends on the mentality of the hearer. That what do we want? Even this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the delineation of Krishna, the absolute truth, the highest transcendental principle, there are many persons who are making business of Bhagavatam and making it into a material business for maintaining their bodies, which are meant to be eaten by jackals, as the Bhagavatam says. The persons who are very busy maintaining their bodies do not realize that they cannot understand the highest truth because they're busy in maintaining that which anyway is fit to be. Shrigal bhaksham is suitable for eating by jackals. So Bhagavatam, all the Vedic scriptures, they are composed in such a manner that simply by reading them, one cannot understand them. They are meant for reading so that we can understand, but the understanding has to be through the guidance of acharyas. Tatrinvan supartan vicharana paro vimuchennaraha. The Srimad Bhagavatam should be heard and studied. Tatrinvan supartan vicharana paro, not just like a parrot reading. Some people, they read the verses. They think, I will become pious. I will get some benefit from doing this. But it's not meant to be simply, just like you recite the 10 offenses in the morning so quickly. I guess maybe you're all beyond the 10 offenses. You don't have to think about it. But it's so quick, I can't even speak that fast. So, but it's supposed to not just, okay, we recited the 10 offenses, and that's it. Okay, that's the ritual over. We should think. We should go slowly. Just as Prabhupada was saying, we should take one verse from Bhagavatam each day and study and try to understand. Actually, one verse, even one word, we cannot fully understand even in millions of lifetimes because it's unlimited. But vicharana paro, one has to apply one's intelligence to. Intelligence means not speculative intelligence, but intelligence guided by the acharyas to try to understand what is the import here. So it's not just a matter of rituals. Many people complain Hinduism is just all rituals. Actually, not, nowadays we don't hear that so much because the traditional Hinduism is not so popular. Modern Hinduism is, just like we saw in that house, Osho, and this, what is that? The Art of Going to Hell fellow from Bangalore with the beard, and this Ravi Shankar, and they completely threw out any traditionalism or rituals or anything, and just, it's just cultish personality cult, that's all. So this Shastra, this is Krishna. We are to understand Krishna through Shastra. Krishna very kindly makes himself available or gives knowledge of himself through Shastra. So it is simply to say, I am a Hindu. It's practically meaningless. One has to understand what are the teachings of the Shastras. So many of you have got good brains. And with your good brain, you are now getting what is called a good job. But this good brain, this is genetically inherited from forefathers who used their good brains for studying Shastra. Now it's used for studying, what is it, systems analysis. And I am a creator of technology. Just see the foolishness. I am a creator. Ishvaraham Hambhogi. Yes. English translation. They don't even know it. But that mentality, when Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, this demoniac mentality, it's not just something, when he was not just talking about Duryodhana sitting on the chariot in front, but it's the general mentality of all demons since time immemorial. It's the family tradition, Hiranyakashipu, Virochana, it's going on. And especially in this age of Kali, this demoniac tendency is ubiquitous. You know what that word means? It means omnipresent. It's everywhere. You'll find it everywhere, in everything. This, the demoniac mentality is considered normal, respectable, desirable, praiseworthy. If one pushes himself up and shows, I am better than others, a hero of business, means he's become a leader, an expert in exploiting others and reaping the earth, and he's a very respectable person in society. Srila Prabhupada, the captain of the ship for crossing the dangerous ocean of Kali, Kaling Sattva Harang Pung Sam, Kali Yuga has the potency for destroying all the good qualities of a human being. Srila Prabhupada brought us this Srimad Bhagavatam and all Shastras. And he himself is non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam, always talking Shastra, always acting on that platform. When we see what Srila Prabhupada has written and how Srila Prabhupada is living, there's no difference. Whatever is stated in Bhagavatam, what are the qualities? Yasya asti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunas tatra samasate suraha. In the pure devotees of Krishna, all the good qualities of the demigods are manifest. Actually better than the demigods. And that's just indicative. So we see that practically manifest. There's no difference. It's just like we say so many people, they talk about love and forgiveness and tolerance, all very vague terms. But in their own personal life, it's if anyone criticizes them, they might smile for a little bit, once or twice, and then they become vicious. So I have personal experience. People talking of love and tolerance and giving seminars on forgiveness, but if you point out, well, actually, this is what you're saying is not exactly according to Shastra, then they become viciously opposed. So those who are great acharyas, they don't talk in vague platitudes. Love. They have this kind of clothing on, so when they stretch their arms, all the cloth hangs down. And they look very spiritual according to the stereotype of what being spiritual is supposed to be. Or as Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to post this in a few days. I post out every day how Prabhupada was saying, we should preach Srimad Bhagavatam, not sentiment, but substance. So, mostly all these so-called gurus, they're very expert at appealing to the quasi-spiritual sentiments of others. In the bhakti line, or that which is imagined to be the bhakti line, it's very easy to cheat people who are supposed bhaktas, who are supposedly in the bhakti line. It's very easy to cheat them on the basis of sentiment. Just like there's one Amma in South India who loves everyone and gives them a big fat embrace. It's a very strange thing. She's a woman and she embraces so many men come and she embraces them and love. But it's all vaguely defined, just love, love. I love you for what you are. Yes, we also love you for what you are, but not for what you are at present, what you should be. We love you as jiva, but now you are living as a demon, according to the statements of Bhagavad Gita. So we actually love you by telling you that, my dear sir, you are presently living like a first-class mudha, and you should give this up and surrender to Krishna. So, not vague love, peace. Give peace a chance. All you need is love. but giving actual information that why there's so much disturbance in society. So many people are victims of Hurricane Katrina, and we feel empathy for them, and we are sending supplies. We are sending supplies of canned beef down to Louisiana to help the people. They don't know the canned beef is why they had the hurricane in the first place. And you'll get one too, if not hurricane, something. They think, well, they explain, this hurricane is caused by the global warming, what's it called, syndrome or something? Huh? Global warming syndrome. So that may be true on one level. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure about this global warming syndrome because I mean, it's not very warm here, is it? Huh? And it's like, I mean, even in the past, sometimes you got a hot summer and then a cold summer. But if the summer's a little hotter now, it's a global warming syndrome. So I don't know. Maybe true. I don't know. Who can say? These rascal scientists, you know, they don't know what they're talking about, and they might get it right sometimes. But anyway, even if that is the cause, there's a deeper cause. And the deeper cause is that people are leading sinful lives. So there must be reactions. And the deeper cause than that is because people are ignorant of their relationship with Krishna. Therefore they have to suffer. People don't know this. And what's more, they're so foolish that they don't want to know this. People are so much in the mode of self-cheating, self-deception, that even in the midst of a great catastrophe, like Hurricane Katrina, actually, of course, in India, this kind of, in other countries, this kind of thing happens all the time. In Bangladesh, I was there twice a year, they'd have cyclones, but when it happens in America, then it's a catastrophe. When it happens in Bangladesh, it's three lines in the newspaper. That's all. And then when it's in America, then it's 3 months front pages in the newspaper. I saw there was some American called Donald Pearl was killed in Pakistan. He was all over the newspaper. Damn it, they're killing Indians dozens every day. And one American gets killed and it's all over the newspapers. Anyway, so the root, this catastrophe that comes because people are sinful, that must come. And they don't, but they don't want to recognize that. Even in the midst of all this, if you tell them, actually this is because of your sinful reactions, they become very upset. If you go to them and say, yes, we sympathize, and we'll say a prayer to God, we're doing everything against God, and then he mercifully sends us a hurricane to remind us, and then we pray to him that please remove the hurricane. We'll go on with sinful life, and you bless us. Hari Vilaspura was telling me he read some article or something where some devout Christian was describing in the article how he was hunting an elk. An elk is like a big deer, and he was praying to God, please let me shoot him. And then he shot the elk, and he thought, God is very kind. And I think this is religion. We have in the Bible also that they offering animal sacrifices, and they say God is pleased with the smell of blood offered on the altar. What is this? They think this is religious. So people are so much under self-deception that even under such circumstances, even when they're suffering so much, actually everyone's suffering, but when it becomes more apparent to them that they are suffering, if you tell them, actually this is the cause, forgetfulness of Krishna, then they'll become more upset. Then they think, you see, I'm already suffering and now you're telling me I'm doing something wrong. Give us a break. So many misconceptions. They call it a catastrophe because cities flooded and so many people get killed. But they don't see the catastrophe is going on all around them at every moment. People are dying. So they say, how many people they said died in that hurricane? 10,000 or something like that? Huh? Only 1,000, that's all. Such a big fuss over 1,000 people killed. Oh, that's nothing. There was in Latur and then in Gujarat earthquakes and tens of thousands killed both times. But 1,000 people killed. Well, there's probably about that many die in America every day anyway, isn't it? More. Between old age and cancer and road accidents and murders and suicides. There's probably more than that die every day. So there's a catastrophe going on all around us. And there's an even bigger catastrophe that everyone's forgetting Krishna. That's the even worse catastrophe. Because by not remembering Krishna, what could be a worse fate than death? The worst than that is to die and die and die and die and die and die and die again. And that's what's happening because we forget Krishna. So, people ask, are we born again? Not talking about Christians here, but talking about reincarnation. They say, is it really true that you're born again? Not only born again, but you die again also. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Again and again, birth and death. Punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Again and again. Lie down in a mother's womb, come popping out, and then go through a journey through life, crash into the grave. And then your tombstone is there. So and so died on such and such a date. And then there'll be some worm, earthworm crawling around the grave, and that's him, John Smith. And John Smith is still there, crawling around an earthworm body. Could be. So the catastrophe is going on all around us, and Kali Yuga especially, great catastrophe, because people are performing activities which cause them to be born in the lower species of life for many, 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 many lifetimes. They are sealing their fate, very dark future. As Srila Prabhupada said on a live TV show, in England, there's this TV show called, there's years, of course, it must be, because when Prabhupada said, called Late Night Lineup. Actually, it was only at 10 o'clock. That was considered late in those days. Because television brought in the era of staying up late in the Western world. There was a live TV show, and it was one of these programs where they're very provocative, you know. They try to make the person look like a fool and everything like this. So, and they asked, Prabhupada was explaining about how you get different bodies and after death. And so they asked that, well, Swamiji, according to you, what happens to people if they don't take to Krishna consciousness? What happens to them? So Prabhupada said, they all become cats and dogs. And they just cut the broadcasting. They felt too insulted. They thought, we can't broadcast this kind of thing. And it was supposed to be a provocative show, but they themselves were so much provoked that they just cut it out. But it's just straightforward, that's all. It's not that Prabhupada was deliberately trying to be provocative or to, you know, some people, they're TV characters, or people, they become famous by being outspoken, even though they're nothing. This was easier in the 1960s, but nowadays everyone's just a complete loudmouth. And it's to be coarse, to be grossly misbehaved has become normal. But in the 1960s, some people, they became famous just by being so grossly outspoken and misbehaved, that it shocked people, and so they managed to make a name for themselves. So it wasn't that Prabhupada was deliberately trying to speak in such a way that others would be shocked, but he was simply delivering the truth, palatable or unpalatable. So this verse is spoken to Suta Goswami. We often say this verse in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the captain of the ship to guide us over this dangerous ocean of the material world, Bhavasaga, especially this ocean of Kali Yuga, this what is that verse that says that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults? Kala dosha de rajan then astihi eko mahan guna kirtanad. So Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. There is one great quality, mahan guna, that by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can cross over this ocean and go back to Godhead. But we need a guide. We need a guide to cross over that ocean. So, Srila Prabhupada has come. We're drowning in the ocean, and Srila Prabhupada has brought the ship. So we should climb on the ship and sail back to Godhead under the guidance of the captain. He was saying last night that observation that usually devotees, when they first come to Krishna consciousness, they're very much aware of Srila Prabhupada and very grateful to him for the gifts that he has given. But after some time, familiarity breeds contempt, and then they just take it as something normal, or they lose the appreciation. That means that actually we didn't really grasp Krishna consciousness, because if we did grasp Krishna consciousness, then we would appreciate it more and more, and we'd appreciate more and more what Prabhupada has given us. If we think that Prabhupada, well, he just introduced us and now I know so much and it doesn't really matter what Prabhupada said, it's okay. It's quite good, quite nice. Yes, I appreciate it. Pat on the back. But rather, if we are actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, then suddenly our appreciation of Srila Prabhupada should increase more and more and more. Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. And if we read Prabhupada's books, we'll find that the more we read, Vayam tu na vitripyama, right? Vayantu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame. How's that? Just here. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. Tichrinvatam rasagyanam. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. Meaning that we are not satisfied. We are hearing the sages at Naimisharanya saying to Suta Goswami, we vayantu navitripyama, we are not satisfied. Uttama shloka vikrame. By hearing about Krishna, now you should say, well, you should become satisfied. The only thing that can satisfy us is in this world is hearing about Krishna. But he said, we're not satisfied. On one platform, we're satisfied means we have no more material desires. Nivrittatashaya upagiyamana. Krishna katha should be spoken by and spoken and heard by persons who are free from material desires. But on another platform, not satisfied, because tachinvatam rasa gyanam, because that rasa gyanam, knowledge of rasa, is being tasted at every step, and that is so relishable that the more one absorbs, the more one wants to take in. So if we're actually coming up in Krishna consciousness and appreciating, then our appreciation of Srila Prabhupada must increase at every step. Not that we think, well, he introduced us and now we're on our own. But if we're on our own, then we're on our own, then we're in trouble. Now we don't need a captain of the ship anymore, and then the ship ends up in the doldrums. You know what that is, doldrums? There's a saying in English, in the doldrums. It means that you're not going anywhere. So that means in the South Pacific, there's an area of the sea where there's no wind ever. So if any ship goes into there, what happens? Never comes back. So if we don't recognize the captain of the ship, then we may think the ship is going very nicely, but then we sail into stormy waters or into the doldrums. So we should understand what are Prabhupada's gifts. Adhere to that very carefully. We should understand that what Prabhupada gave us is perfect for going back to Godhead. Everything we need he has given. So we should follow that very carefully. Study his books. Live by his books. As Prabhupada said that we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Krishna has come in this form very suitable for persons in the age of Kali. If Krishna comes and he does Rasleela, we're not fit to just enter that. But he comes, Rasleela, yes, in Srimad Bhagavatam, which prepares us for entering. We can immediately approach Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam, through the Acharyas, through Srila Prabhupada. So there are many things to be said about this. I've written in those books my memories of Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada, which are... Then, writing these books means not at all to try to surpass or supersede what Srila Prabhupada has given, but to embellish and lead others towards and increase the appreciation of that. And as one of my godbrothers recently was saying, the result of reading other books written by disciples of Srila Prabhupada should be a greater enthusiasm to study Srila Prabhupada's books. And he very kindly said that in the case of my books, that he experienced that. So if the result of reading books is that we're not more enthusiastic to read Prabhupada's books, then what's the use of reading those books? But if by reading other books that appreciates our appreciation, that increases our appreciation of Srila Prabhupada's books, then we can say that these are very valuable books. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maybe in the future they'll invent an automated guru. artificial intelligence, you can do research. And their intelligence is artificial. It means it's not real. It's only apparent. It's not actual intelligence. It's artificial because they're concerned with this artificial world. If devotees write other books, Prabhupada right here in the Bhagavatam, he says especially the duty of sannyasis, those in a renounced sort of life, to make a literary contribution for the uplift of human society. Certainly Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write books. That is a that must go on. That is kirtan. If the disciples don't perform kirtan, then what is the value of the guru? But at the same time, disciple never thinks, now I've surpassed my guru, or thinks that now my guru's books are defunct, as some of Srila Prabhupada's so-called disciples would say, that you now, or even, anyway, there are some who even say this now, that now Prabhupada wrote for that time, and now I'm writing for now. Prabhupada wrote his books 30 years ago, and I'm writing, these are more relevant for now. So, Hare Krishna, be careful. If anyone presents that I'm writing better, something better than the previous acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept this. His Vallabha Acharya came and said, he said, Sridhar Swami, the commentator on Bhagavatam, made so many mistakes, and I've given a better commentary. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Swami na manale tare vaisha madde goni. That anyone who doesn't accept the Swami, I consider a prostitute. So it's a pun, because the wife doesn't accept the Swami, husband is considered a prostitute. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used it as a pun, if you don't accept Sridhar Swami. So like this, it was a pun. But the point is there, he didn't accept. I have made a better commentary than the previous acharyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that. Well, in ecstasy is one thing, but they should be, that ecstasy should be actual ecstasy. That should be accorded. This is all analyzed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What is actual bhakti? What is Mishra bhakti? What is shadow bhakti? Not, it may appear to be bhakti, but it isn't. We have to see the subtle symptoms. Much of what is presumed to be bhakti is not, according to the standard of Rupa Goswami, shuddha bhakti. Bhakti abhas, or abhas means not exactly, but appears to be. The prayers of the acharyas, that's generally recommended. The prayers of the self-realized acharyas, they are certainly beneficial. And those which are composed by lesser or not self-realized souls, there may be so many defects in them which we don't even recognize. On the other hand, Prabhupada did, when some of his American disciples came with some songs in English they'd composed and they wanted to publish them, Prabhupada said that he made the comment that sometimes you have to let the cow kick a bit. In other words, it's not first class, but anyway, you just, all right, you can do it if you like that. Definitely, this should be the central focus, yeah. There's so many verses. So many. That's right, yeah. So many verses we can learn. Hare Krishna, we'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.